We do have a quorum, so I would like to call the meeting to order. The clerk will note the roll as people come in. We have the minutes of March 22nd, 2007. Representative Eakin, would you be so kind as to move the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Eakin moves the minutes of March 22nd, 2007. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. I'm going to take my own advice, if you would, please. Take your cell phone and turn it off, because they do interfere with the communication system. Members, the Ways and Means Committee has a charge that is two different things. To be able to understand the budget and to pass a budget resolution, get that budget resolution to the different committees, and then as they come back through the Ways and Means Committee, to be able to make sure that those targets that were set to the different committees, different sections of government, that those targets are met. There's nothing that would prevent anybody from offering other amendments in the rules, but I have worked with and want to thank Representative Holberg, the minority lead, in trying to have any amendments that are drafted deal with the fiscal policy of the committee and not just policy. As we go through, I think most of the amendments you will see today are related to fiscal matters. And Representative Holberg, I really do appreciate your our conversations and cooperation on that particular score. Thank you. Members, in your packet, there's also an adjustment to the budget resolution. I'm going to call on Mr. Marks, the chief analyst, to explain that. But in the original resolution of the Ways and Means Committee, where we adopted the targets, there is a section. Let me read this. It says, if any of the bills listed above are combined in whole or in part, the limits of those bills representing the accounts that are moved are also combined in the same manner. And in your packet, you will have a slip of paper that does that combination. So, Mr. Marks, if you would explain that to us, please.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the single page that says at the top, targets, general fund, house, and then revised for restructured finance bills. What this does, the left side of the page is looking at the targets as they were passed in the resolution on March 16th and then amended on March 22nd. So it lists the targets by the House committees. The column that says House limits fiscal year 2008-2009 are the limits from the resolution as amended, as passed March 16th and amended March 22nd. The second column on the left side of the page where it says House limits by bill components, this breaks down those bills that have been moved in all or in part to another bill, or those bills actually that are moved in part to another bill. And so you can see, for example, under early childhood learning, there are two components listed, the education component at $211,157,000 and the child care component at $248,598,000. So what it's doing is looking at how did the early childhood bill take its total target of $459,755,000 and spend it on the two the areas that then get split up. In this case, it would be largely child care, which is going to go to the Health and Human Services bill, and the various education programs, which would go to the E-12 education bill. So taking that example then, if you move over to the right-hand side of the page, this is taking the bills for the conference structure and then taking the components. And then the final column says revised limit is adding them together. If you, as an example there, if you look at E-12 education, The two components of that would be the K-12 education bill, the $13,729,337, which comes from the left side of the page under K-12 education, and then the early childhood component, the $211,157,000 that comes from the early childhood bill. Add those two together, and the new limit for the E-12 bill would be $15,940,494,000. And that example illustrates what's being done on the page. The bottom line numbers are the same, and those bills, where there were no changes, are also the same. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. But I think that explains what's there.
Representative Swigum?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Bill, this is very, very helpful. Thank you for the way you put this together. Could you add on another column for some of us here, or maybe all of us on the committee? Is it possible to add a column not just relating to House targets, but to governor's recommendations and where the combined targets now will be in relationship to the governor's recommendations in those areas? So we can have a little comparison there as to what's necessary to live within our means within that 9.8%.
Mr. Chair and Representative Swigum, yes, I don't have it done right now, but I have all the numbers in a different format. It would not be difficult to do.
Okay. If you, Mr. Chairman, I would like to see that. I don't know if any other members would, but I think it would be helpful for me to see that, so I can make a few comments about the bills that are going through.
Any other questions on this information? If not, then the first one on the agenda today is House File 1048, Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that House File 1048 be recommended to pass and be placed on the General Register. House File 1048.
Representative Pawlowski.
House File 1048 comes at the recommendation of the governor. It is the reorganization of the Department of Employee Relations. It transfers most of its duties to the Commissioner of Finance. It transfers worker compensation to the Commissioner of Administration. And it transfers other duties to the Commissioner of Health. You can see on your spreadsheet that there is a savings, and that would be the elimination primarily of the Commissioner's position. That has already been booked into Representative Kahn's state government bill. I want to compliment Commissioner Anderson. When we first met in January on this, we had discussed this probably taking a year. It was done in less than a month. The governor could do this through executive order, but has decided to do it through public debate and testimony. So Commissioner Anderson is here if you have any questions, but that's the bill, and that's what it says.
Questions at all? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Commissioner Anderson, what's the purpose of the reorganization?
Mr. Chair? Representative Swigum, the purpose of the reorganization is to really streamline state government agencies. You know, the much of what we do currently, we already do with the Department of Finance. We share systems, we share semaphore systems. We actually have finance staff on our floor, if you can believe it, that we supervise. And they have some of our staff on the floor. The governor has, I think it's 22 direct people who answer directly to the governor, and as you know, that's an awful lot of people to try to manage. This essentially makes things much more efficient. It joins things that are already currently being done in state government, and it's very doable. These are also very small agencies. The doer is only about 140 employees currently, and finance is about 170. And if you compare that to DHS, for example, they're over 7,000. So these are two very small agencies that even combined will be a small agency in the scheme of agencies. So.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Anderson, I just have a couple questions. I'm surprised in the document it looks like we promised to keep every one of your staff on board and just in my 30 years of being a business person, if you were eliminating the top person, I would think there's some support staff. So now all your support staff that are reporting directly to you are all going to report to somebody else. I'm just surprised that there's none of your support staff positions are not necessary anymore as we go forward. I would think that there would be some tail effect of you working yourself out of a job, that the reality is there may be a few extra other people there also.
Commissioner Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, there are in fact several others that will no longer be there once the merger is in place. We've worked out with the legislature, it's in the state government finance, the budget bill, where the savings are booked at $150 the first year and $350 the second year. And that's already in, and we've already agreed to that. We believe that those savings definitely will be had. There are very few, there's language in this bill that is a job protection that essentially says that we will not be laying off classified employees, which are almost all of our employees, or represented employees, should we say, for the purposes of the merger. There are very few unclassified, unrepresented employees within the office. There will, of course, be other savings as we go along. Potentially, people will move to other agencies, but there will be no layoffs of classified employees at this time.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, Commissioner, just a quick follow-up. So I understand, right, if you have some unclassified employees, maybe a deputy commissioner that used to be a classified employee, does that employee have the ability to move back or keep a job?
Commissioner Anderson.
Mr. Chair, we have one deputy commissioner and one assistant commissioner. The deputy commissioner is our labor relations negotiator, and that position is going to remain and needs to remain. He's our head state labor negotiator, has been for years. The assistant commissioner has never been in a classified position as far as I know.
Any other discussion? If not, then Representative Pawlowski renews his motion that House File 348 recommend to pass based on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Commissioner Anderson, thank you. It's been a long wait, has it?
Yes.
the next item on the agenda is Senate File 2096, Representative Aguinius and Representative Hilty. Representative Hilty will move that Senate File 1096 be recommended to pass, 2096 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. Representative Aguinius, before you start, I'd like to ask a question. And members, you have the spreadsheet in your packet. You were given a target. Would you indicate to me whether you are in that target and by how much both yourself and Representative Hilty combined? Representative Aguinius?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, in the environment section, we are on target exactly. And within the other section of the bill, and members know that there are two big sections here, I believe.
Representative Hilty, would you be so kind as to answer that question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The energy division is $33,000 under the target.
Okay. Representative Wiginius and Representative Hilty, again, the purpose of Ways and Means is to get us to the point of being within the target. If you want to give a 2 minute or 1 minute or a 10 second overview, it would be just fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, We received in our targets slightly more than what the governor had. As we went through the session, folks said that their priority was to do as much for clean water as possible. So we funded assessments on a 10-year track and TMDLs on a 10-year track, which is the appropriate track. We had $6 million in general fund money. We chose leftover there then. We chose not to raise boat fees, as the governor had suggested, costing us $1.8 million. We took $3 million and split it between trails, which is substantially underfunded, and metro parks, again, substantially underfunded, and they still remain that way. And we used $2 million for smaller projects.
Representative Hilke, I guess it's again, a very quick synopsis, if you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the Energy Division bill incorporates, I believe, every proposal that the governor brought forward as part of his Next Generation Energy Initiative. We changed numbers in a couple of those proposals, but everything has been included in the bill. The focus that we had in the committee was on research and development in every area of renewable energy development. We have initiatives in the bill for research in hydrogen and carbon sequestration in biofuels, more general funding for the Institute for Renewable Energy and the Environment, which has done, I think, some of the very best research work in those areas in the country. And basically, members, that is the focus of the bill. I feel very happy with what we have been able to do with a very limited budget. This was a $67 million target, which I think is 0.1% of the budget. But nonetheless, I think that we have, in funding some of these projects, made some major advances in attempting to achieve energy, if not independence, at least greater energy security.
Members, I failed to do something, and I'm sorry about that. These have come through a finance committee, and there's a committee report on it. And so, at least for this one, Representative Hilty, would you move to adopt the committee report on House File or Senate File 2096?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
That's before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, and carried. If it's okay, it's a little bit different procedure. We also need to adopt the committee report on House File 1048. Representative Pawlowski, would you the motion to adopt the committee report is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, and carried. I don't think we need to go back and re-adopt it.
Mr. Chair, you're in charge.
Well, that's a new one I forgot. I'm sorry about that. Okay, Representative Swigum, you have several amendments, and I'll give you the opportunity. Would you like to start off with A070752? Do you want to do that one first, or are there other ones you'd like to do first?
That would be basically the governor's the governor's bill. And if I could ask Representative Bookie a question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilty, I'm trying to place all these monies in different spots, which I'm having a difficult time following. And
Representative Swigum, can you just speak into the mic a little bit?
I sure will, Mr. Chairman. Could you give me an idea of how many dollars your bill is over the governor's recommendation?
Representative Hilty.
I believe in Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, in total, what the bill is spending from the general fund is $85,270,000.
Which,
Representative Swigum?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hilty, that's what I have as well, and the total governor's recommendation is $64 million. About a $21 million difference. But the net spending, I believe, of the general fund, the net general fund impact is not quite that great because you use some additional revenues. Can you tell us what those revenues are?
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, the additional revenues would be from removing the cap on mutual fund registration fees, which over the biennium would add an additional $14 million.
Mr. Chairman, Hilty, can you tell us again about this removal of the cap and where those monies would normally go and now they're being used in your bill? Can you give us the idea for the members in the audience a little bit about those revenues that are being captured in your bill that normally would be sent back to other folks, taxpayers, policy premium, or ratepayers?
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, yes. Actually, part of the governor's proposal in proposing to add additional staff for a senior fraud unit, and the Department of Commerce proposed raising a cap, which is currently set at $25 million, to $25,600,000. That caused me to try to find out as much as I could about how this fund worked, what the, you know, who paid into it, who got the money back, etc. What we discovered is that there's little or no evidence to suggest that the people that actually paid for that fee in the first place, which would be individual investors, ever receive any of the money back. What has been refunded of that cap has gone to, I believe the list that I have from the Department of Commerce is 51 separate brokerages ranging in amounts from relatively small ones to a couple that actually there's only one on the list that I have that has received more than $1 million. If it was possible to actually refund that money to the people that have paid it in the first place, I think that it would be a different situation. But in fact, this is has amounted to a windfall for the brokerage firms to whom it has been refunded. I was told by the Department of Commerce that when this provision first went into effect, that the recipients didn't know what to do with the money, that they weren't particularly enthusiastic about having this distribution and trying to figure out what to do with it. It is in the general amount of money that's transacted here, which is roughly $10 trillion. a very, very small amount. Most of it is paid by non-residents of Minnesota. The estimate on the part of the Department of Commerce is that somewhere between 2% and 5% of these fees are paid actually by Minnesotans. There doesn't really seem to be any way to make an equitable redistribution of this. And the conclusion that we came to is that there would be better uses for the money.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sawyer.
I think that better uses for the money, according to you, probably, and according to the DFL majority, because you can always spend your my money better than I can spend it. I understand that. But this is money, because of the cap, that normally would go back to investors, that's now being captured by you and your committee to actually spend another $14 million over the governor's budget recommendation. So, in fact, you are spending in this bill by this capture of this money, this confiscation, whatever word you want to use, about $21 million more than the governor's recommended. In the finance committee, we didn't do a very good job of going through this provision that you're right talking about now, the cap. We didn't do a very good job of going through that. I'm glad you're explaining a little bit, at least from your perspective now.
Representative Paulson, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on Representative Sligum. We had a little discussion in the tax committee, too, as you know, Mr. Chair, on this issue, and that's one of my largest concerns about this bill, because I really view this, the item that Representative Sligum identified as, this is really a revenue grab, is what it is. There are a lot of fees in this bill, overall, but this is clearly $14 million that have been identified that are going to be now taken as a fee and clearly used for something completely different. Doesn't have anything to do with the investment community or brokerage firms or returning that money as current law would require. And I can't believe that, the brain power that exists in the legislature, Representative Hilty, yourself and others, we couldn't come up with some real solutions on how to more equitably distribute, as you mentioned. I would think that we'd be able to really put some thought process and do that. But, to come up with a $14 million revenue grab and then redistribute it, I'm surprised we just didn't raise the fees as well. Maybe we'll see that down the pike here to get some more money. But that's just a concern I have about the same provision, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sligum,
I'll go to the end.
Yeah, 8070752. Is that the one you would?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's take that amendment first. Okay.
Representative Sligum offers
in the.
Representative Sligum, go ahead. Representative Sligum moves amendment 8070752. Representative Sligum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. Members, without too long a speech, I think we all understand that the bills that are moving through this process, with the possible exception of the next one that we take up, which would be Representative Junkie's bill, are in serious, serious difficulty in the process taking place right now. They're all going to be vetoed. The governor had a news conference again yesterday, stating the same thing, giving the warning, giving the red flag, making sure that we're going to cooperate and not go through this path of conflict. I think Governor Pawlenty, with due respect, is willing to cooperate and compromise with every spending item, where we want to set our priorities, as long as we live within the $3 billion and 9.8% of new money that's available from last biennium to this biennium. This bill before us, at least from the energy side, from the environment side, it's not quite as bad, Representative McGinnis, as far as the governor's recommendation is concerned, but I would tell you not spend just $7 million over the governor's budget. I would say you spend $21 million over the governor's recommendations when you look at the confiscation of this $14 million that was just spoken about by Mr. Hilty and Representative Paulson and myself. We just simply don't have those monies. This is a governor's amendment which refocuses the dollars within the governor's targets, that 9.8% of new spending. Plus, additionally, it redirects the priorities back to the timber and the mining industries, which are underfunded in the Waugenia, Rep. Chairman Waugenia's part of the bill. It does focus on clean water. It doesn't have all the new initiatives that are in the bill, but it does focus certainly on clean water. And, Mr. Chairman, I would strongly support and move the amendment before you, which is basically the governor's recommendations and priorities, short of the surcharges on license fees on boats and fishing license surcharges that the governor originally had that were changed in his recommendations in February.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm going to urge you to reject this on several counts. First of all, this isn't quite the governor's proposal, and I would point out to you on pages 34 and 35, Representative Swickham, you do have a $5 surcharge on towed recreational vehicles and a $5 surcharge on trailers. These surcharges were actually deleted in the governor's supplemental budget. Beyond that, I would like to give you three reasons that you should vote against this members. First of all, when the governor had submitted his budget, he did not have the opportunity to deal with or respond to the legislative auditor's report on Bowser. We spent hours and hours and hours, and Representative Hansen spent hours and hours and hours working with folks to respond. The governor's bill had no opportunity to change because of what the public had to say, and one of the things the public had to say is we've got to do more with our waters and clean up our waters. The governor's bill did not have an opportunity to respond, because it hadn't happened yet, to the good research coming out from the University of Minnesota on using prairie grasses as biofuels. We do take some minimal steps in that direction. And so with that, members, I would urge you to reject the Swickham Amendment.
Just very quickly, we can vote Representative Solberg and Chairman Solberg, because it almost seems like deja vu all over again. I think I was sitting in the same chair two floors up Tuesday doing the same thing and the same amendments, and mostly the same people there. I know Representative Paul Sprowski was there with me anyway. It restores the governor's targets. It restores the living within our means. It restores the money to the DNR forestry management for our struggling timber industry in the state, about $5.25 million. The bill strongly supports the ethanol and, Mr. Chairman, may I ask, the mining sectors of the state by making sure that that those regulatory services are paid for by the general fund, not out of the environmental fund revenue. It's a very, very positive amendment. Members, I would appreciate your support. And I won't prolong it any more than it does sound. It does feel like it's Tuesday all over again.
Representative Swickham, we wanted to change floors so you wouldn't have to sit in the same chair. The amendment before us is before us. It's A070752. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And motion does not debate. Representative, let's see, Swickham, how about 0744? Can we take that one up?
Sure.
Representative Swickham would move A070744. Representative Swickham.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We're two floors down, but the results were the same. Mr. Chairman, this amendment, members, is a much smaller amendment, just addressing the service grants to the soil and water conservation districts in the state. And I'm glad that Representative Hansen is sitting at the front table right now, because basically it is taking at least a part of the bill that he recommended, and he brought forward to this legislature, not the full bill because we couldn't find the money for the full bill, but it adds an additional $1.25 million per year to service grants to our soil and water conservation districts, falling right in line with the author's words of this bill when she introduced the bill talking about clean water and about the focus towards clean water and the importance of clean water. That is exactly what happens with the grants that move towards our soil and water conservation districts. Members, I'll just move the amendment. Would appreciate your support, and thank you for your time.
Representative Morginius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I am again going to urge you to reject this amendment. What Representative Spigum does is take money from state parks. State parks' budget is relatively flat, and because of the flatness, the attendance at state parks is flat. I think that we are going in the wrong direction there. The second thing is he takes money from trails and waterways. Trails and waterways is substantially underfunded, and gives it to general services grants, which do not have any particular outcome. And I would like Representative Hansen to talk about that.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Spigum. You are correct. General service grants and the soil and water districts are dear to my heart, and I know to Representative Gunther as well that we had worked in the committee, but they are general service grants. They're not targeted. It's the cost share that puts the projects into the ground. And as I mentioned a few days ago, Representative Spigum, we did find, in the capital investment bill, there's $8 million to go to the wetland reserve program. Of that, $1.2 million is for administration that can go through Bowser to the soil and water conservation districts to help get the projects in the ground. So I wish we could have done more. I would agree with Representative Venius that our trails and parks need help. I think we've tried to be supportive and creative in getting dollars to the soil and water districts, and I would encourage folks to vote against the amendment.
Any other discussion? If not, the amendment A070744 is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
And motion does not prevail. Representative Swigum, how about A070745? Do you want to offer that one? I hope I'm okay by pulling these up. Doing it not in any particular order, but
That would be fine, Mr. Chairman. Any order is fine. They're just the same amendments I think that we offered in the Finance Committee. 45 members, 0745, is an amendment relating to clean water. Clean water for a design and engineering of the Lake Zumbro Restoration Project, a restoration project that is very important and very vital in southeastern Minnesota down by the Rochester area. It's a $350,000, I believe. Let me grab the amendment. $350,000 a change in the appropriations here in the bill that basically takes that money from the proposed increase, not the base, but the increase in the Red River Mediation Implementation Program. Again, it focuses at clean water. I think it's an important amendment. This is an important provision which we should have addressed in this bill. I assume what I'm going to hear is the same as I did in finance, and that should be a bonding item, not an appropriation. I'm going to hear that. But the fact of the matter is this is an opportunity to bring this forward, and I think it's a very, very important priority. Remember, it takes money from a program which would keep the base funding of that program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'm going to urge you to vote against this amendment. In the first place, Representative Sugman is right. The project he wants to fund is bondable. In the second place, I do want to challenge him a bit because the money that's going to the Red River mediation folks is restoring cuts or partially restoring cuts that were made. This has been an extremely cost-effective, the Red River mediation, very cost-effective at reducing litigation as well as cleaning up water. Representative Eakin is well aware of this, and he may want to chat about it with you.
Okay, we have before us an A07. Representative Eakin, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, and this has been very cost-effective. It really saves money because it does avoid a lot of the litigation and the problems that result from not working out problems earlier on. So you have problems with agencies not issuing permits on projects that have been pursued for many years, possibly. And so in the end, it saves a lot of money, and as Representative Wagini has said, this is really a restoration of cuts that have been made. It is not increase in funding so much as just a restoration of funds that have been cut to a program which, again, in the end, saves a lot of money.
Any other discussion? If not, then we have the A070745 amendment before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. Representative McNamara, you have you as A070746. Would you like to move that one? I think that has fiscal implications, if I believe it's correct. More than just policy. Representative McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an amendment that would delete the provision to just have the Minnesota Deer Hunters fund a social service program which would move venison to the food shelves. A noteworthy cause to get venison to the food shelves, but I think inappropriate to have it funded by game and fish funds and by Minnesota Deer Hunters. And it's a proposal that is not supported by the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. They've spoken in every committee against it. And Mr. Chair, I think it's a pretty simple amendment that does not fund it. We'd be open to, in the future, immediately having some kind of a voluntary program. Truthfully, it's led, I believe, to some very unethical practices in our neighboring state of Wisconsin that not the kind of thing we should be encouraging to happen, and I would appreciate members' support and would ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Representative Wagenius?
I'm going to yield just to Representative Hansen, but before I do that, because this was his bill, I want you all to know that in other jurisdictions, Iowa, Wisconsin, where they have this program, the public response has been overwhelmingly positive and has given a really good feeling toward hunters. I think that would be helpful in Minnesota right now. Hunting is actually dropping. That's not something we want to see. And it would be good to have this good public response. So with that, I would yield to Representative Hansen.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and Representative McNamara. My friend Representative McNamara and I disagree on this. I think we've heard testimony in several committees. We've had, I believe, roll call votes in every committee on this. But I'll make the same case again. I think this bill was originally introduced by Representative Greg Davids 2 years ago. I supported it then. That we have heard testimony in multiple committees about overpopulation of deer. And we have a track record in several committees, or several states now, Wisconsin and Iowa, where we have 3 or 4 years of experience. Both of those states try voluntary measures. And when the voluntary measures didn't work, they went to the mandatory. And in Wisconsin, it's a $2 surcharge. The process has been in those states last year, in the hunting season last fall, in Wisconsin, there were over 11,000 deer that were donated. And how the process works is there would be a dollar surcharge on each deer license that are resident or non-resident archery or firearms. It's not on the youth licenses. It's not on the bonus licenses. It's on those licenses, so that would draw in about $455,000. That money then goes to reimburse local locker plants where hunters can drop off their deer, and they can drop the deer off. It's a cooperative effort between the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Agriculture. The locker plants are reimbursed for processing the deer, and then there's a paper trail that goes back and forth. The hunter can drop off the deer there, and that system would work. We did put in the taxes committee a report that would come back to the legislature to help provide some oversight so we can look at how the system is working. But we've already had experience in the surrounding states of Iowa and Wisconsin to make sure that we're not the first ones doing this. So I would encourage folks to vote against the amendment, and would have any other questions.
Paul, I just wanted to ask if, Representative McNamara talked about ethical practices. I wonder if he or Representative Hansen can talk a little bit more about that, because I'm not familiar with that. That just kind of perked my ears a little.
Representative McNamara, is that a question to you?
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Paulson, I was going to ask the chair if I could speak to that. I will just talk about a personal experience that I had. For those of you that are not a big game hunter in Minnesota, it leads to a number of challenges. Our season can open as early as November 3rd or as late as November 9th, and we can have temperatures that can be anywhere from in the 70s or 80s to 20 degrees below zero. And a number of challenges are involved with the with meat under those kind of temperature. And if you are at put in the position to where you no longer care about that, the ethics involved, Representative Paulson, completely change. I had a chat with individuals that hunted in Wisconsin, and they said, you don't need to worry anymore. You just go out and you pop them. You can, in Wisconsin, I think one of the individuals says, I think I shot 7 last year. You just go, you don't need to worry about it. You shoot them, you drag them off to the locker plant, drop them off, and it's just boom, boom, in and out. You don't even need to worry. Where in Minnesota, there's some ethical involvement there. This meat needs to be properly taken care of and processed, and you care about that. And I agree with Representative Wagenius and Representative Hansen that we need to strongly work to encourage the hunting tradition in Minnesota. And with that is a real responsibility. And the DNR has done a good job of trying to educate us about that, but folks aren't going to care anymore. They're going to shoot a deer. They don't care how good they got it out or how quick they do it. And if the temperature's 50, I mean, what happens to meat in a hurry at 50 degrees, it's very dangerous. And it's just not the kind of process. And what I think is important is the Minnesota deer hunters are against this. They have not spoken in favor of this. They're willing to give it a try. We have asked Representative Hansen to give it a try, do it voluntarily, give it a try in an area, and they want to impose this on the hunters. And I just don't want to encourage unethical practices. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative McNamara, I don't quite understand how that's any different than any other deer hunter who is out in 70 or 80 degree weather shooting a deer and needing to get the deer to the locker. So I'm not quite sure what your point is and how that's necessarily relevant today.
Representative McNamara.
Well, Madam Speaker, I really appreciate your point, and I think it absolutely it's very easy to understand. If you don't care who's going to eat the meat, if you personally are not involved in that and you're just giving it away and don't need to worry about it, I think it just takes the level of responsibility in your mind to a different level. And we historically have not done that. I think there's a responsibility. If you're going to go out and hunt a big game, you should know what you're going to do, know what the kind of temperatures are, how you're going to deal with taking care of it. And we don't need to worry about that if you're not, if you're just taking it and dumping it to a locker plant and they're going to take care of everything. I think there's a huge, and if you talk to some of the serious hunters, that's an important consideration when you're hunting. How are you going to deal with this game? How are you going to protect it? You're going to put it in the shade and all that. And I believe you've raised that, you've dropped that down a number of notches if you don't have this responsibility.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hampton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative McNamara and Representative Paulson. I think back to my hunter safety training and the tradition that's involved with hunting, and I have confidence in Minnesota deer hunters that are going to the 455,000 that would be paying the license here, that they do care. You know, they care when they take the shot. They want to make sure that they're effective, whether it's a bow and arrow or whether it's a firearm. I think that ethics tradition is ingrained in folks from generation to generation and through hunter safety training. So the act of hunting and the tradition of hunting, I think that folks who go out in the field, they will take care of the deer, and whether they're eating it or whether they donate it to the food shelf. And this is a good effort. It's had plenty of testimony. I would again encourage folks to go with this.
Okay, we have the A070746. Representative McNamara renews his motion. All those in favor signify. Oh, a roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Solbert?
No.
Abler? Reinhart?
No.
Carlson?
No.
Clark? Dean?
Yep.
Eakin?
No.
Earhart?
Yes.
Riling?
No.
Gunther?
Yes.
Hillstrom?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Olberg?
Yes.
Huckley?
No.
Kahn? Kelleher?
No.
Lincheski?
No.
Mariani?
No.
McNamara?
Yes.
Murphy Aaron?
No.
Murphy Mary?
No.
Osmond? Paulson?
Aye.
Pulowski?
No.
Sertich?
No.
Smith? Swigum?
Yes.
Swales?
No.
Schumper?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 17 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Swigum, A 43. That's yours.
Sure.
Okay. Representative Swigum moves Amendment A070743. Representative Swigum?
Mr. Chairman, this amendment goes back, members, to the importance of clean water and the importance of our soil and water conservation districts and the work that they do through their grant programs to enhance clean water throughout the state of Minnesota. Wonderful work, by the way. You ought to get close to your local soil and water conservation districts. It increases their funding by $1.5 million. Again, not quite as much as Representative Hansen had in his original bill. I think your original bill was someplace like $2.25 million. $2.1 million, so I don't quite meet Representative Hansen's goals and his initiative and the importance of the service grants to the stormwater conservation districts, but we get about three-fourths of the way there. And the money, members, would be taken from the increase in funding in this bill for metro parks. I think when we look at clean water, if clean water is the focus of this bill, if clean water is what we're after, I believe that this would be a very, very appropriate and prioritized amendment. Mr. Chairman, appreciate your support.
Representative Blakem or Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I wanted to talk about two things very quickly here. One, that this Representative Swigum also talks a lot about balance. He's going to use my words. I'm going to use a few of his. And the word balance is important here because the metropolitan area gets very little money in this bill. Most of the money in this bill goes to our friends and neighbors in upstate Minnesota. So what we did with balance is to say that 50% of part of our money went to trails and 50% went to metro parks. So this severely takes the bill out of balance. The second thing is that there are no outcomes for waters with general service grants. In fact, I was very troubled by testimony from folks from soil and water conservation districts. Soil and water conservation districts said, well, we don't have any responsibility to conserve water. With that, I want Representative Hansen to talk just a little bit about general service grants and how he adjusted it in different ways to help out there.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Swigum. Again, I think we would like to do the same thing, but we also needed to stay within the budget. And Representative Wagenius earlier mentioned about the Legislative Auditor's Report. And throughout testimony and the subcommittee that we had, we heard about accountability, need for transparency, and the need for outcomes. In the bill, we provide a number of measures that should provide the transparency and accountability and the potential to have greater outcomes in the future. Representative Swigum, in the future, I want to work as hard as I can to get cost share out through soil and water conservation districts and get projects on the ground. But I think we want to give these transparency and accountability measures time to work in the budget that we were provided. And I would oppose the 743 amendment.
Any other discussion? Representative Swigum then renews his motion A070743. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Representative Paulson, you have, I think, S2096A1. Did you want to offer that one, or is that the one that you wanted to
hold off?
You'll hold off, or you don't want to offer?
I will not stop.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I will get that off my plate. Thank you. Then we have Representative Swigum, you have 47. You want to take that one?
I will take that one, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. And, Mr. Chairman, I apologize.
Representative Swigum moves A070747. Representative Swigum?
I forgot to vote for my own amendment last time, Mr. Chairman. So I think that additional voice may have carried the day.
You could always have asked for a division, you know, afterwards, but I didn't hear that before.
No, I was just stunned that I forgot to vote for my own amendment. I was just sitting here dumbfounded. Mr. Chairman, this amendment, the 747 amendment, if you would, restores a cut to funding that is made in this bill. It's a cut to the feedlot water quality grants program, which by this bill, I believe, is cut by more than 50%. And it restores that funding and takes the money from a number of new initiatives, studies, monitorizations, analyzations that are created by Representative Wagenius in her bill. Again, it restores the feedlot water quality grant program. Very, very important program, members. If you want to talk about cost share, if you want to talk about clean water, point source concerns for that clean water. This is an extremely important program, the feedlot program that we have. Members, I take the money from page 5, the endodoctrine. Is that it? Whatever it is, the disruptors.
It's much easier for you to say.
Yeah, it's easy for me to say. I take the $375,000 from there each year at the biennium. Turn to page 15. There's a another task force, a Forest Resources Council task force that receives an additional appropriation in this bill. Page 21, there's a another technical advisory committee that is created in this bill.
It also addresses the engineered wild rice notification requirements that are in this bill. These are all new initiatives, all new studies, all new analyzations, all new advisory committees, members that will not have the effect for clean water that this feedlot program does have. This is a program you don't want to destroy. This is a program you don't want to reduce by 50% if, in fact, you are concerned about clean water, as the author has said.
Representative Virginius.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Sigan, you tackled six different issues here in this amendment, so I will go over four of them very quickly, and then Representative Hansen will talk to you about how he does indeed fund money for water cleanup in the Bowser program, which is what you're talking about. Okay. First, you propose to delete part of the money that will be used to test our waters for endocrine disruptors. Now, Minnesotans want us to clean up our waters, but they don't want us just to make them look pretty. They want them to be actually healthy enough to produce fish and support ducks. And I know you were having trouble pronouncing the word, but endocrine disruptors are chemicals that act like hormones, and they're playing havoc with the reproduction system of fish and other things that live in our waters. And they do so at extremely low levels. They brought us the word girly fish because male fish are becoming female. It seems that we're not having as big a problem in Minnesota as they're having on the east and west coast, but that does also give us an opportunity to do some problem solving. Endocrine disruptors come from sources as varied as detergents and plastic bottles, and testing will allow us to do some problem solving. Probably a lot of it has to do with our wastewater treatment plants, too. The second thing you propose to delete is money to deal with invasive species that can hit our forests. In committee, we have talked lots and lots and lots about Emerald Ash 4, both the Department of Agriculture and the DNR are very concerned about it. Michigan alone spent $350 million destroying ash trees, some ash trees, to protect the rest. The money you are proposing to delete will be used by Forest Resource Council to, which is what you mentioned, to educate citizens. They believe they can get a lot of matching funds for us. The third thing you propose to delete is the expansion of seed sources that can be used for our new biofuels. One of the things that we had an opportunity to do was hear lots of testifiers from the University of Minnesota telling us about how good it would be to use native prairie species for biofuels. The problem is that we have so little native species seed left in the state that we cannot take this opportunity right now. So there are three groups that have seed: U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a Nature Conservancy, and DNR. And the only one we have to deal with is DNR. And this bill asks DNR to optimize or suggest ways to optimize seed production, and it does it in a way to share seed with local producers who will be able to either sell premium seed or to grow more seed themselves. The next thing, the fourth thing that you do here, and members, this is a more subtle issue. Chicoy people ask us to protect their natural wild rice. There are five sections in this bill that do that, and you propose to delete each one of them. The Ojibwe people believe that wild rice is a gift from the Creator, and it is a centerpiece of their spiritual and nutritional sustenance for their communities. The argument by some is that they have an inherent right to engineer the rice, and if contamination occurs, well, so be it. the argument that I would make is there is no inherent right to take something that belongs to someone else, whether it's a stealing or contamination. That's something I learned in kindergarten. The contamination is not a theoretical argument. On March 30th of this year, the Kansas City Press reported that the U.S. rice industry, wants the federal government to reject a plan to grow genetically modified rice in Kansas, saying the country's rice growers, and I'm quoting here, would suffer financial devastation if modified crops contaminate the commercial supply. The U.S. Rice industry has very specific recent and huge problems to point to. And I imagine a lot of you have seen newspaper articles about that in recent days. I'm going to yield to Representative Hansen and urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Spigum. We do provide money for the feedlot water quality grants. I had mentioned in the Finance Committee that I do have kind of the background sheets that show that this money is currently going to relatively few counties. The 2005 legislature directed a study on buffers, and so in 2006 we received that report that provided the scientific basis for that buffers protect water quality, prevent erosion, and provide wildlife habitat. What we did with that and testimony in multiple committees is we provided dollars for voluntary buffer establishment. As this has occurred, the federal government has announced a new CRP, Continuous Conservation Reserve Program, that is state-specific. I think this is an exciting opportunity where we can be competitive and get land enrolled around the state, providing balance, protecting water quality, reaching more people, in addition to doing the feedlot water quality program, that we have both efforts to protect water quality.
Just very quickly, Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, and I'll not belabor it. The feedlot water quality program in this bill is cut by over 50%, Representative Hampton. Over 50% from last year. It's the most important thing we can do in rural Minnesota to help and address the point source water quality, water pollution. We ought to put the money in there. Representative Ordinas, there's a few of us on this committee, including Representative Solberg, myself, that think lutefisk is a gift from the Creator, but we don't have anything in here to study or protect lutefisk.
They just meant I'll have an amendment.
Well, you and I like our lutefisk.
Oh, yeah.
We do. We may be the only ones here, but... Mr. Chairman, members, task forces, advisory councils, analyzations, technical advisory committees, or the money where it ought to be going to protect the water quality of the state of Minnesota. It's a very simple choice.
Representative Wagenius.
Representative Stigum, I want you to know that I've probably cooked a lot more lutefisk than you have. And with that, I would ask members to vote against the amendment.
Okay, we have Amendment A070747 before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And motion does not prevail. Representative Stigum, you voted for your own amendment.
What is that thing?
Representative McNamara, there's a A070750. It is a policy one. My understanding is that you are not going to offer that. Is that correct? I wanted to check with you. 50.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate your analysis that it is a policy issue. I would say it has serious economic impact, but... Mr. Chair, if your thoughts are you'd want to rule it out of order, I could withdraw this amendment. But I just would want to say this is a bill that Representative Wagenius has carried for the last 2 years. Representative Scalzi is carrying this bill this year. This is an important issue, members, that we need to have discussed in committee, and it has been held out of committee both under Republican leadership and under their Democratic leadership. This is an issue that cuts into the population of ducks in Minnesota and the raising of fish, both for bait and food, that we need to find a solution. And we always said we were waiting for the study to finish. Well, the study finished 6 or 8 months ago, and we're still waiting for a hearing. And I guess, Mr. Chair, I'd look for the discussion to be on the floor then, if that's where you'd rather have it.
Representative McNamara, there's nothing to prevent you from offering it, but I do appreciate us concentrating on the fiscal impacts on it.
Mr. Chair, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Representative McNamara, then I believe you have A070751.
Mr. Chair,
that is fiscal. Do you want to offer that amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, after much discussion with people that know more about transportation and tax than I understand this is probably not the appropriate committee for this to be discussed, in that it deals with gasoline tax, and I was just misinformed. This amendment deals with the redistribution of the gas tax to be more fair based on a study that is showing that the all-terrain vehicle fees are under-collected right now and not going to the appropriate fund. And it's important that we do get this done because we need to be enforcing these all-terrain laws that are on the books, and we need the staff to help us do that. But, Mr. Chair, my understanding is this is probably not the appropriate. Representative Holberg has told me it would be more appropriate in another place, so I'll withdraw this.
Representative McNamara, thank you. It is fiscal, but it probably is better carried in a tax bill or a transportation bill, and I appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Representative Carlson.
On that, I just a few moments ago I had a conversation with the Tax Committee Chair, and this did leave the Finance Committee with the discussion that it was a tax issue, and she indicated that if the amendment came up, that she requested that I point out that it will be taken up in the tax committee.
Well, and Mr. Chair?
Representative Holberg.
To that point, it really needs to be discussed in the transportation realm, and that it's a special revenue account, and that to transfer money that's now in the transportation bill appropriated to Trunk Highway, County State Aid, et cetera, and that's where this issue needs to actually end up in the long run. Because if you take additional revenue, and I'm not speaking for or against the policy here, but you have to make the transportation bill match any transfers that you make out of what's currently included in that bill.
Representative Holberg, that's a point well taken.
And
Representative Carlson?
Representative Leader has been a part of those discussions, and I think it's on the same page that you're on.
Representative Bogenius, as a result of the Tax Committee dealing with this issue, we have S2096A15. And I believe that your amendment able to make that correction then on those amounts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So Representative Wagenius moves S2096A, the chair will move S2096A15. Representative Wagenius?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The discussion that has just been had about the gas tax is correct. We had in our bill, in the environment bill, up until it got into taxes where it was taken out and laid on the table there for consideration in the omnibus tax bill. Because of that, we have to readjust our accounts, our ACD accounts, and all this does is readjust back because we don't have the money, the new money. And that's what this is.
Any other discussion? The chair renews his motion on A5. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, I think I don't have any other amendments before us.
Mr. Chairman, do you have I thought there might have been one more, but...
Yes, there is one more. I'm sorry.
Let's go fishing program.
748. Okay. I'm sorry, Representative Swigum. Thank you. A070748. Representative Swigum moves that.
You give it like
Mr. Chairman, this amendment, I'm trying to find the page, I believe deals with the page in here. Deals with the, I believe it's termed and called the Let's Go Fishing of the Minnesota program. The program, which is to promote opportunities, at least in the vision of the program, for kids to go fishing, taking this money from the Game and Fish Fund that, with I think all due respect, can be spent better with better results. I know that the Game and Fish Budgetary Oversight Committee has had the opportunity to look at this program, the proposal of this program, and has basically said that with questionable, not known results, that they would believe that the wise thing to do would be to continue the funding of those dollars and those programs and projects that they know have good results, as opposed to very, very questionable results. It does take the money out of here. I think the Senate even has more money, I believe, in this program than the House bill. Let's spend that money where it ought to be, where we know we're getting results for the dollars, and the projects are being coming forward in a very, very positive way. So, Mr. Chairman, that'd be the amendment to delete that Let's Go Fishing program.
Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Swigum, just a little bit of clarification on the Let's Go Fishing program. And I remember, I believe, and it's a Representative Junkie, actually, bill. Did the governor veto this at one point? Yep. And then what happened was, I remember seeing this on the front page of the Wilmer paper. It's not for kids fishing. It's for senior citizens in nursing homes and to be allowed on. And I remember a wonderful picture on the front page of the Wilmer paper, this elderly woman who in a wheelchair on a pontoon having the opportunity to fish. A great program, and supported by the AARP. And I think we should continue doing it for the state of Minnesota. So I'd encourage a no vote.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Sertich, I agree. It's a terrific program. It's total inappropriate use of Game and Fish funds. Absolutely inappropriate. The current Fisheries Department is in the neighborhood of Robin from Wildlife. Is it, I don't know, is it $17, $25 million? And we're going to accentuate that even more to buy pontoon boats that get used to Let's Go Fishing as a couple weekends out of the year. I'd like to know what those pontoon boats are used for the rest of the year. This is inappropriate funds, and it's not correct. It's a great program. We should be funding it out of the general fund. To encourage elderly citizens to fish is a great idea. As was it the Oversight Committee? What's the group, Representative Swigum? They sent us all a nice letter. These are professionals, and if you read their letter, unwise and would have an impact on funding for current projects that we know could have good results. It's not the appropriate place to be spending this money. Inappropriate and dead wrong to be doing this way.
Representative Wiganius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing I would point out, just as in, we're having the same problem with fishing as we're having with hunting. The numbers of folks participating are dropping. The terrific advantage of the Let's Go Fishing program is the wonderful, again, wonderful publicity that is being generated in the communities and saying, once again, hey, fishing is fun, let's go fishing. For that reason, I would hope you would vote no.
Representative Sertich.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, I think wholly appropriate to provide more opportunities for our senior citizens and their homes, the opportunity to fish. Mr. Chair, I'd request a roll call.
Any other discussion? The roll call has been requested. The clerk will call the roll.
Solberg?
No.
Abler? Reinhart?
No.
Carlson?
No.
Clark? Dean?
Yes.
Eakin?
No.
Earhart?
No.
Breiling?
No.
Gunther?
No.
Hillstrom?
No.
Kilty?
No.
Holberg.
Yes.
Huntley.
No.
Kahn. Kelleher.
No.
Lancheski. Mariani.
No.
McNamara.
Yes.
Aaron Murphy.
No.
Mary Murphy.
No.
Osmond.
No.
Paulson.
No.
Pulowski. Sertich.
No.
Smith. Swigum?
Yes.
Swales?
No.
Kemper?
No.
There being 4 A's and 19 nays, the motion failed. We have S 2096 A14. Representative Holberg is. That's yours.
Mr. Chair, I don't know whose it is. I was just brought it to your attention. I
had it
outstanding.
It
just seemed to think we were done. I didn't know.
Does anybody need to offer A14? It's in your packet. Thank you for calling it my attention to that. Staff did, too, in a hurry.
It must be an orphan amendment.
Okay, very fine. Then nobody is going to offer it. So. Okay, then I have another amendment. And I don't know who's going to offer it. It's S2096A5. And again, as I look at it, it is a policy amendment.
Is that mine?
Does anybody wish to offer that? Okay, again, it is a policy issue. And okay. Then I think that's all the amendments I have. Okay. Any other discussion?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
To the bill. Representative Paulson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just to the bill, I know we've gone through a lot in the last couple hours here, hour and a half, but, I just want to identify, we've had a lot of rhetoric or talk over the last year about the impact of fees and what that's had on Minnesota residents, and especially going through the election cycle. But I just want members to know, there are a lot of fee increases in this bill, and I think we have some opportunities to repeal them. I don't believe there's any repeals of any fees in here, but we've got a $1 surcharge on deer licenses. We've got a $2 surcharge on fishing license. We're having fishing fee licenses now up to $1,000 for fishing contests. We've got DNR water appropriations fees. We've got new technology surcharges on licenses for insurance agents, real estate brokers, salespersons, and real estate appraisers. So we're going to add to housing costs here. We've got increased license fees for mortgage originators. In fact, we're tripling those fees. We already talked about the $25 million cap. It raises $14 million now on fee increases. And we've got an increase also in the registration fee by credit service organizations. We're increasing that fee by 10 times from $100 to $1,000. And we are changing the debt management service provider fees from $350 now to $1,000. So, Mr. Chair, I know there are a lot of good priorities in the bill. And I think that's the challenge, obviously, we have as legislators to think how we're going to fund those priorities. But I think some of the amendments we dealt with would rather use the money from the general fund. We've got a surplus available to us. Again, we are raising quite a few fees here in this bill, Mr. Chair, and I just want to make sure that members are clear on what they're voting for.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my understanding is this is a Senate file, is that correct?
Yes, it is, Representative Holberg.
And I'm just wondering, with the number of revenue increasing provisions in this bill, are there any constitutional issues with it not being a House file?
Representative Holberg, I did see a memo come from House Research on that very issue, and I guess then the short answer would be no.
All right. And
that was based on court cases. I don't remember who, I think Mr. Kellen, Joe Michael, had that amendment, or that amendment for us.
All right, thank you. And then, Representative Wagini, does this bill contain the fee on paint? The tax on paint, is that in this bill?
Representative Wagini, yes.
Thank you. I don't know.
Can you use your microphone?
I would have to ask
Representative Pelosi-Aquino is the one, because I said there's certainly not one in the part of the bill that before it was joined that I brought.
Representative Hilty, the tape doesn't pick up a shape.
Mr. Chair, no. Representative Holberg, there's nothing to do with paint.
Representative Holberg?
And Mr. Chair, then what is the revenue source for the lead program in this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, that's from the general fund.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other discussion?
Yeah,
Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to yourself and to the majority, this bill will probably have 67 amendments on the House floor. We didn't even get to the policy issues of energy, nuclear power. I think this is the bill that also has the stacking provisions and the commerce provision that's going to increase our insurance premiums for each and every one of us by some 9-10%. Members, I'm going to just give a little olive branch that I tried to do on Tuesday in the Finance Committee. And as we march down this path, I believe this bill spends $10 million more than the governor's recommendations. It does take that money from the cap and mutual funds, another $14 million there that basically steals those dollars. It's just simply not going to be within the governor's targets. It will be vetoed. We can expedite the process tremendously. And I think the Republicans with Governor Plante would be very, very willing to expedite the process, not offer any amendments, not offer anything in the form of discussion, expedite this, get this to the governor for his veto, and start this process over again, should you choose willing to do that. It's a path of conflict rather than a path of cooperation. It doesn't have to take place. But if we got to pass these bills, let's pass them. Let's have them vetoed. Let's have them sustained in the House and the Senate. Do it quickly and put Humpty Dumpty back together again by the 1st of May, as opposed to forcing some hand later in the legislative session towards the end of May. It's just an olive branch, just out of respect and civility to the process. I would offer that, Mr. Chairman. I offered it to Mr. Carlson on Tuesday. And I think our side of the aisle will be very, very, very willing to back off, to not take any time, just let happen what happens, veto the bill, and then get back to the real work that's not built upon artificial numbers.
Any other discussion? If not, the bill is before us. Representative Hilty renews his motion that Senate file number 2096, as amended, be passed and placed on the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And
no.
Motion carries. Members, before people leave the room, I want to make an announcement early, and that is we will be meeting tomorrow. We're going to be meeting at, let's try 8:30. In the morning, tomorrow morning, if that's okay. We'll be in room 5. There's two bills up, the education bill and state government finance bill. And we've notified Representative Holberg and Representative Seifert about that as well. And members, again, if you have any amendments from both sides of the political aisle on that, that are fiscally related, try to get them in as quickly as possible. With that, the next bill on the agenda is House File 2227, Representative Junkie. Representative Junkie, welcome to the committee. The chair would move that House File 2227 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. And just as an announcement, I goofed up a second time when I said we needed to adopt the division report. There's no division report. The bill is before us as it is, as it comes from the House. So we will strike those two motions from the minutes that were previously given, if that's okay with the membership. They were inappropriate motions. Representative Junkie, first of all, you were given a target. Would you be so kind as to indicate whether or not you are within the budget targets? Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Briefly, and hopefully we can just move on here in a couple minutes. This bill carries five accounts: Agriculture, Board of Animal Health, AURI, Veterans Affairs, and Military Affairs. Targets were given out. The base on this bill is roughly $135 million. Governor's request was $174 million. House File 2227 before you is $175 million. Based on the House targets, Mr. Chair, that you asked about, I believe we are we're 68,000 under the House target in the current biennium. We're also under in the outcome.
Okay. Representative Junkie, if you wanted to give just a very, very quick overview.
Well, and again, I just listed the accounts that are in there. I will tell you this bill had a carries an overall 30% increase, and I think that's very appropriate. A lot of it's one-time money. Not only for agriculture, the increases are necessary. This is a budget that took a 28% cut a couple years ago. So getting money back into agriculture in rural Minnesota, I think, is very important. And if we can make that up, and the governor certainly saw fit in his budget, and we followed suit. The other big issue and the reason for the increase is the Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs portion. We have a lot of important work that's done in this bill to prepare for our returning combat veterans. As you all know, we have a lot of National Guard units and members over in Iraq right now. We expect them back, hopefully back by the end of summer or early fall. And so this next biennium is critical to handling those returning combat vets and all the associated services and special situations that they may be in. So you will see this bill, and we'll describe it in depth on the floor, especially in the Veterans Affairs areas, really address some of those needs that we see coming. So we work closely with the commissioners and the governor's office and both sides of the aisle. This bill has traveled. This is the fourth committee it's been in on its way to the floor, and there has not been any dissenting votes, and I don't believe any amendments other than author amendments and technical amendments along the way. So with that, members, I'd appreciate your support. Get this to the floor and get this important work done.
Any other discussion? Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ducky, I think you took another fairly good and balanced bill here. My numbers have you at only about 700,000 more than the governor's recommendation.
Right, isn't it?
And agriculture, Veterans Affairs, Rural Economics.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, yes, and it's actually higher than the number you saw in finance because we took on the military affairs budget then. It was actually about 400. Now we're about 700 over.
Okay. Representative Schumper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie, I noticed this really, really, really big jump in the fee for the Minnesota Grown using that logo. That's a very popular program in my area. I'm wondering if you could tell us why such a big jump in that fee and how much money that's going to generate, how much additional revenue,
sure.
License fee.
Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair and Representative Schumper, the fee was brought to the committee by the Minnesota Grown Board of Directors, who is made up of the farmer users for the most part of it. It was at $5, now it's at $20, and that's a fee for using that logo, for getting published in the books and other things. They wanted to do more promotion of themselves, more materials. So we not only, I believe this raised about $17,000 if I remember right, and it all goes, it's a user fee, they requested it. Beyond that though, we also added another $65,000 of general fund money to their base. So we've enhanced that money three- or fourfold with our contributions also from the state. So we saw their effort, and we certainly matched it with ours in many times over. So again, this was a request from their board of directors to our committee, and we heard their testimony and decided to go ahead with what they wanted.
Other discussion? If not, then the chair would renew his motion that House File 2227 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, and carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
The next bill on the agenda, and the last one, is House File 829, and we're looking for the chief author, so let's just take a very, very short 2 minutes break. We're in recess. Representative Paymar, welcome. Representative Paymar, welcome to the committee, and the House, the chair will move House File 829, be recommended to pass, and place on the general register. Representative Paymar, we have a spreadsheet that is in here. The question I want to ask you is that you were given a target, and are you within that target?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on page 8 of the spreadsheet, you will see that we are right on target.
Representative Paymar, very, very quickly, if you just give a very brief summary of what's in the bill.
Mr. Chair, very briefly, we... we have included additional funding for the courts and some additional funding over the governor's recommendation for civil legal services. We funded the mandated services for the district courts, created three new judge units for the Court of Appeals, and six new judge units for the district courts. Recommending in our bill 10 drug courts that will be primarily in Greater Minnesota. We have in this bill a little bit more money, $3 million in addition over the governor's recommendation for the Public Defense Board. We created, we have slightly less money for CRIMNET than the governor's recommendation. We did create a couple of programs or funds in line with the legislative auditor's report in the Office of Justice Programs. And we have... funded the youth intervention programs and legal advocacy trafficking, and also have brought up to the 2003 levels the funding for domestic abuse programs, battered women shelters, sexual assault programs, and general crime victims. And we do have a bed savings amount for the drug courts and reentry programs. In the Department of Corrections, we increased slightly over the governor's recommendation probation caseload reductions, and have slightly more in our budget for reentry efforts for the Department of Corrections. And that's basically the spreadsheet. Mr. Chair, I don't know how much detail you wanted me to go into.
I think that's sufficient. Representative Hillstrom, there is an amendment to A42 in our packet. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will withdraw that amendment.
Okay. There's an A43 in your packet, Representative Paymar. I think that's a technical one, but it is, does it have anything with fiscals, things in it? Is it something that could be done on the House floor?
Mr. Chair, we could do this on the House floor. There are technical provisions to the Smith bill, and the only one that we could do here would be on page 111 of the bill. This is the safe cigarette provision that deposits a $250 fee to the state fire marshal. And so if we could, on page 111.
I'm sorry, Representative Paymar, is this an oral amendment?
No, you have it, and you should have it in your packet. If you don't want to do the whole amendment, we could do the... It would be on page 111 of the bill.
111?
Yes. And line 112.2.
Well, since it is a fiscal one, let's do the whole thing then. It is the fiscal parts of it. Okay?
That provision would be, Mr. Chair.
Okay, then the chair will move H08298. 4-3, discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. I do have one that's entitled Smith, but again, I think it is a policy. And I talked with Representative Holberg on this, that it's a mistake that obviously needs to be corrected, but Representative Holberg, are you comfortable with delaying that to the House floor?
Mr. Chair, that would be fine.
Okay. Any other amendments?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If we can go back to the A43 amendment, when I look at lines 19 and 20 of the amendment, it talks about amending page 112, line 8, and on page 112, the line numbers start with number 14.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Paymar.
For some reason, the way the reviser has drafted this, it really should be on page 111, on line 112.8.
It is on page 111, but it is 112.8.
Yeah. And then the inserted language would
Representative Holberg, as you look, it's not the bottom, but on the side.
I recognize where it is. I'm just saying that the amendment that we just adopted doesn't conform to the bill that's in front of us.
I think it does, because if you read the lines on the side, maybe Mr. Marks can give us some clarification on that.
Mr. Chair, I think this is probably some issue that the reviser's office needs to explain. The 112.8 is, we've usually referred to that as page 112, line 8. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not on page 112 as the way the bill is structured, but I think the coding works for the way the lines on the side of the page are numbered. So I think the reviser's office will understand where to put the amendment when they re-engross it.
Representative Holberg, are you okay with that?
Mr. Chair, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, I'll have to say. Usually we have to match up, but I think it's okay. Okay? Okay, Representative Swigum, did you have... Representative Holberg, were you finished?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Swigum.
A question, if I could, of the chairman.
Mr. Chairman, of the author.
Representative Swigum.
My memory is a little short here, but I think on Tuesday evening when your bill was in finance, in regards to this good faith, bad faith provision of the bill that is going to raise the insurance premiums of my constituents by 15%. That's a concern that we're not going to address here because it's a policy issue, but I think there was a potential fiscal note that came forward that evening, and it wasn't necessarily a fiscal note, but it was an analysis of a note, and we were going to get the note the next morning. Have you dealt with that yet, Mr. Paymar?
Yeah, you want to.
Representative Paymar.
Representative Cole had requested some additional information from the courts based on, I can't remember the two states that have the good faith provision.
California, I don't
think. I can't remember exactly.
Let's try to go through the chair.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize.
That's okay. Representative Swigum. Representative Paymar.
And with that, maybe Mr. Carter could address this, but I don't know that at the time that was an official fiscal note, and there was some debate about
that. Mr. Chairman, at that time, it was not on Tuesday evening, because I think the computers weren't going to be plugged in until the next morning or something, but there was a potential fiscal note coming forward that I thought we were going to try to deal with at a later time when it came.
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swigum, there is a fiscal note request in on this. They were, we thought we would have it by now, but I checked this morning. It has still not been signed off by the Department of Finance.
Representative Swigum, if that becomes available, we'll surely get that to you as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just remember the discussion. I got a little confrontational and wondering who was requesting what, but I thought we were told the next morning when the computers got plugged in we were going to have a physical note, but it hasn't happened as of yet. So,
Representative
Chairman, my understanding is you don't want to address the policy parts of these bills that are going to be questionably increasing the premiums of our constituents in the insurance area.
Representative Swigum, my charge has been to balance the budget on the general fund. Any committee has the opportunity to offer an amendment, and I do appreciate the cooperation on sticking to the fiscal thing.
Mr. Chairman, I will respect that, and I guess all our members have. Then the only question, Representative Paymar, is the general fund spending in your bill as opposed to Governor Pawlenty's recommendation as we try to build this forward is about a $12 million difference. Would that be correct?
Representative Paymar?
That's a statement. That's correct.
You're $12 million less than Governor Pawlenty's recommendation? No.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to go back to the fiscal note on the good faith, bad faith bill. Isn't it true that it was over $500,000 in its draft form?
Representative Beamer.
Mr. Chair, if I remember Representative Holbrook, I think it was $300,000. But I also want to say, Mr. Chair, relative to that, we have created six new judge units in the district courts. If there is a fiscal impact, it can certainly be absorbed within the budget. So I'm not sure why this is becoming problematic. If there's problems with policy, and I know some members have concerns about that, I think that's the debate that we should be having, at least at the House on the House floor.
Okay, Representative Holbrook.
And on another issue, if
sure,
I might,
Representative Holbrook.
Can you tell us the fees on phones and if they apply, how much they are now, how much you propose them to go up? I see it's over a 3-year period. If it's on every single hard line and cell phone, I'm somebody who has 8 different phone lines. I'm a little concerned about it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Paymar.
Representative Holbrook, the fee increases would be phased in, 10 cents in 09, 10 cents in 10, 10 cents in 11. Representative Holbrook, it's a significant increase on consumers, and I believe it's every phone line. at one point, historically, Mr. Whitehead is here. I don't know if you want to take any testimony. At one point, we funded the armor system, I believe, through the general fund, and back in the 1980s. We're attempting to finish phases 4, 5, and 6 of the program. It's a lot of money, and this is the way the governor and the legislature have decided that they want to fund the program, is through this fee increase.
Mr. Chair, for clarification purposes, is it 10 cents per line per month, and then increases 10 cents per year? So by the third year for each phone line, 30 cents per month per line on top of, I think, didn't we do 25 and 14 or something already? So at the end of the period of the full phase in this, how much per phone line will our constituents be paying for this system per month?
Representative Paymer or Mr. Carter?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, after the end of this, there are 3 10-cent increases. So the total per line per month will be 95 cents. It currently is at 65 cents. Or 65, yes, 65 cents.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Paymeyer, Mr. Carter, is that the same or higher than the governor's recommendation for this program?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Paymeyer.
That is the governor's recommendation.
Yikes.
Representative Holberg, when I saw the governor's recommendation, I said, yikes. Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to clarify as well, because I've been the chief author of the governor's proposal, and this is the governor's plan. Okay.
Other discussion? Representative Murphy?
Mr. Chair, I have a speech or a rant that I can give on this subject, but I've done it before, and so...
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'd love to hear it.
But she's feeling better. We may have that on the House floor. Okay. Other discussion? Representative Osmond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Paymer, I was looking at the spreadsheet, and I'm seeing that pandemic flu preparations has been reduced significantly in the bill compared to the governor's recommendation. $2 million difference. Did your testimony in your committee indicate that that's the pandemic flu situation is not something that we need to be concerned about?
Representative Paymer?
Mr. Chair, Representative Osment, no. The Health and Human Services bill has a significant amount of money for the pandemic flu preparations, and originally we had decided not to fund it at all, and had discussions with the governor's office, and they said that what they would prefer is that they at least have one staff person that would be part of the Department of Public Safety to coordinate the public safety elements of dealing with the pandemic flu, and they were okay with the $75,000, which would fund the staff person. The rest of the pandemic flu preparations are in the Health and Human Services bill. I don't know what exactly the amount is, but it's significant. So I felt that the governor's office had been vetted, that we vetted this with them, and that this was sufficient.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm assuming that the preparations that need to occur at the local level in order to make sure that the actions that are appropriately taken will be handled then out of the monies coming from the Health and Human Services.
Representative Paymer?
I didn't hear that.
Can you repeat it, Representative Osmond?
Yes, I'm assuming if you're saying then that the local preparations that need to occur in order to deal with or be prepared for pandemic flu is going to come out of Health and Human Services, even though it may be covering the training and so forth of people that are not normally underneath Health and Human Services funding.
Representative Paymer.
Mr. Chair, there was $5 million for pandemic flu preparedness in the 7. That goes for the Minnesota Department of Health. Yeah, so I believe that would cover if hopefully it does not happen, but if we do have the pandemic flu reaching the state of Minnesota, that should be sufficient to cover that.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Osmond.
I have another question on the CRIMNET justice information integration. I know the CRIMNET program has been something that's been very important to people, and the integration of that information throughout Minnesota has been critical, and I see that you're funding it significantly at a significant lower level than the governor. How is that being covered?
Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, Representative Osmond, we had some lengthy discussions about CRIMNET, and you're correct that we do have less money in our budget than the governor is recommending. We have spent, Representative Osmond and members, over $200 million on CRIMNET. If you think we're spending a lot of money in armor, CRIMNET is second in line. I think that Minnesota has, I believe, spent more money on its criminal information network than any other state in the country. And so we felt that we were sufficiently providing funding for CRIMNET to pay for its priorities, which was live scan, e-charging and other priorities with the amount that we have in our budget. We also have a provision in Article 1 of the bill that calls for a policy that criminal and juvenile justice information policy group to study alternative funding for CRIMNET. As we did research on CRIMNET funding, and we found that many states do not use general fund dollars for their criminal information network. That there's bonding, there's fees, but it's rare that that states use so much general fund money as we are using for CRIMNET. I want to see the project completed just like I want to see armor completed. The question is, do they need all of what... do we have enough money in the budget? I believe that we do for them to cover their priorities in the biennium.
Representative Mack, Osmond, I'm sorry.
Just to follow up on that, Chair, so I assume then what you're assuring me is that you've looked at it and that because I'm concerned because of the significant investment we've made in the past, that even though this is at a reduced amount, it's not going to impact negatively on their functionability, that they will be able to function adequately as the future goes, as we go forward. So that's what I was mainly concerned about, is we didn't get right to the end here. Instead of being able to really reap some of the rewards of the previous investments, that all of a sudden now, because they're shortchanging it or changing priorities, that we would not get those benefits.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Paymar, I have a question just to follow up to Representative Osmond's pandemic flu. I serve, unfortunately, Chair Clark is not here. I serve on her Health and Housing Finance Committee, and if I'm not mistaken, the governor's recommendation in that area was for, and I may have these numbers wrong, but I believe it was $20 million for pandemic flu. We actually only funded it at $5 million, which is a $15 million shortfall, and I've got to be honest, it's not an area that I have expertise, but I'm trying to understand. We funded it at 25% of the governor's recommendation, but you just referenced, you gutted it on your spot, went from, looks like, I got to put my glasses on. $4.4 million over the next 4 years, and you're giving it $75,000, but you referenced, well, you'll fund it through the other part. So not only did we only fund it at 25% under Chair Clark's committee, but you guys are going to use part of that money for what you were going to do here. Am I understanding this correctly?
Representative Paymar.
Chair, Representative McNamara, I believe in... At least when we were in finance yesterday and heard Representative Huntley describe in the Health and Human Services budget that he had sufficient money in his budget to do this. And again, this was the recommendation that the governor made was only from like the public safety coordination aspect. And again, I spoke with the governor's office and they were fine with one staff person. If I hear different, you know, I'd be happy to address this issue if they feel they need more public safety officials to deal with the pandemic flu.
Representative McNamara.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Paymar, I hope when this comes to the floor that we're able to better answer these questions, because I never understood I was not comfortable and offered a number of amendments to increase the funding, because if I remember, the governor's proposal was only to, whatever you call that, I want to use the word inoculate, that's probably the wrong word, to immune you, to give you a shot anyway so you'd be protected, was only for a small percentage of the population. And we basically have gutted that program, and I don't know, maybe it's different from now from when he did his recommendation a few months ago, and maybe we're not worried about this anymore, but I just hope that when we get to the floor we'll be able to explain why this program has just basically been gutted. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, Representative Osmond, the funding is not sufficient. It's not appropriate level of funding. What has basically happened is that $20 million that Governor Plenty recommended for the pandemic preparedness has basically gutted. It is true, Representative Huntley put about $2 million additional back into the Health and Human Services bill, I think bringing total funding up to a little bit over $6 million, if I'm correct. But the experts of the Department of Health will tell you that it is total unpreparedness, that we will not be in a position of being able to react if the pandemic does happen. We hope it doesn't. Obviously, it's like an insurance policy. You buy insurance, you hope it doesn't happen. They don't have to use the insurance, but if there were to be a catastrophe like 1918, we are totally unprepared. And what has happened is, Representative McNamara, that $20 million that Governor Plenty recommended has been slashed to about $6 million, and the money has been spent in other initiatives and other programs in other areas.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kahn kept repeating that there was the university on April 6th got a $22 million grant for this flu program, and I don't know exactly what. Does anybody know what exactly that's going to be used for? She mentioned it about four times.
Representative Earhart, I was there when she mentioned it. To answer your question, I don't know. But I'm sure it'll be put to good use at the University of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, there was one point that she made. I won't comment on what it was used for, but one point that was made rather strongly was that apparently that grant became available after the governor's budget was put together. And so her point was that whatever the specifics are, that that should be taken into the equation.
Representative Swagel.
Mr. Chairman, yes, Representative Carlson is correct. That grant became available after the governor's recommendation, but it has nothing to do with the preparedness of this state in regards to the virals, the medications, the masks. It has absolutely nothing to do with our preparedness.
Representative Swagel, we're kind of straying away a little bit from the reason for that, and we'll have a good debate on that in the Health and Human Services bill as it comes before us. We do know one thing, that there is controversy whether or not stockpiling of some medicine is the right thing to do as well. And I know that I think I heard on the radio either yesterday or this morning Dr. Osterholm, I think, speaking before a group that said he was concerned mostly with the lack of pharmacies, if I recall right, being available to produce anything in the United States, that they have all gone overseas. So this is a very complicated issue, and it's above this particular bill. Any other discussion on the bill? So, any other discussion? If not, then the chair will renew his motion that House File 829, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. Members, we will start tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. In room 5 also. Same way. Meeting is adjourned.